website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump in, join in the dialogue and discussion today. An exciting, exciting day. It should be an exciting day for every Christian, for every conservative, for every American patriot today. As President Trump called it, we're entering a new golden age. And notwithstanding the fact that God controls the destiny of a nation and makes the determination of whether we could call it a golden age or a decline, we do not know. But based on man's thinking, based on what we see, think, understand from a political arena and from the agenda of President Donald J. Trump, I believe that we're entering into a new day. I don't know if I'd call it a golden age, but a new day. And I'm thankful for that. I don't know how many of you listened to, watched, and the inauguration yesterday. Talking with someone a moment ago, I said, from start to finish, I had my day yesterday was absorbed in watching, listening to, and following every aspect of the inauguration, the good, bad, and the indifferent, if you please. And I was so thankful for it, thankful for the prayers for Donald J. Trump by a Jewish rabbi, by Franklin Graham, by a Catholic cardinal, and by a young pastor from Chicago. By the way, some point in time during the course of the broadcast today, we're going to play a part of that prayer from the young pastor out of Chicago. I was ready to shout amen when, in fact, I was talking with one of our staff this morning, and he said, I just about raptured out when I heard that man pray and the things that he said. I was thankful for it. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about we must stand firm. We must stand firm. One individual said, and I think she was exactly right, said, we have not won the war. We've won a skirmish. The real battle is still before us. And I want us to understand, even though we're rejoicing today in the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump, President 45 and now 47, although we're rejoicing with some of the things he is saying, some of the things he's doing, we need to understand that the war has just begun. Hear me. Just as when a person says yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, the war begins, the battle begins, and the battle has just really begun. We've seen the skirmishes. We've seen the attempts down through the past 4 years to destroy President, well, actually the past almost 10 years, the attempts to destroy President Trump financially, try to destroy him in every fashion, including trying to destroy his reputation, trying to incarcerate him with lawfare that was taking place. We watched all of that, ladies and gentlemen. Those are skirmishes, and many of those skirmishes have been won, but the war has just begun. In fact, yesterday's inauguration could be considered the declaration of war against every conservative, every Christian, and every patriot in America. So as we face the issues today, we need to recognize that. We need to understand the golden era or the golden age that we're entering into, as President Trump called it, and the fact that we have just opened the doors of warfare that perhaps Christians, conservatives, patriots, and most Americans have not seen. And I don't say that in a macabre way. Don't say that in a fashion that should cause us to be discouraged as a result of the highlights of what we saw yesterday. But I do say that as a factual reminder that we still have much to do and much to go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are awakening as we awaken today. As we see what President Trump has called, as I just stated a moment ago, the golden age. My statement is just simply, wow. And I'm asking the question because this is the focus of the issue broadcast today. Did you watch the 47th president as he was inaugurated? We now, ladies and gentlemen, have sanity back in the White House, the Oval Office. Did you see, did you listen to President Trump when he signed the dozens of executive orders? We'll be talking about those executive orders today and what they connote, what it means, and what we need to recognize. His acceptance speech on was spot on, as I would call it, with what he promised during his long campaign, his march for the White House, his opening speech and his opening words and his opening statement. In fact, I've got his entire speech printed. I've analyzed it, scrutinized it, looked at it from all sides. Here's part of what I'll say in my introductory monologue thoughts today. His speech with part in part said this: from this day forward, our country will flourish and be respected again all over the world. We'll be the envy of every nation. And according to his speech, ladies and gentlemen, the envy of every nation, and we will not allow ourselves to be taken advantage of any longer. End quote. That sets the stage of where President Trump has his focus and what we're attempting to do. And we'll talk about many of those aspects today. We'll talk about some of the things that he's done in the executive orders that he signed. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues each and every day, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. From a central biblicist worldview. Let me remind you that as we look at what is happening, we need to see what God's Word says and view these events through the prism of the Word of God. It's the truth book. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And yet we have those just as the whining group on the Communist Network News, the socialist Marxist media, watching some of them late night last night and then early morning this morning, crying and complaining and grumbling, if you will, opining about President Trump's executive order to commutate sentences and or release all of the J6ers, as they've come to be called. And they're ignoring the fact that the laws were really broken. The doors were opened in the Capitol on January the 6th, 2021, as a result of the rogue FBI agents and or FBI operatives. Christopher Wray finally admitted that it was 26. I have articles and articles showing that it was about 200 to 206 FBI operatives that were egging on, that were opening doors and were wanting the Trump followers to be found guilty of doing something that they did not instigate. So I'm thankful that he has pardoned about 1,500 of the J6ers, as they're called. I'm surprised that on the early morning news, we did not see J6ers walking out of jail. There's no evidence of it. I'm praying that it will not be some kind of stall or some kind of complaint or reason that they cannot be released immediately. But ladies and gentlemen, we find truth is not in the mouths of those in the socialist Marxist seats today. And it was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And that's exactly factually true even today. Ladies and gentlemen, we find those that reject truth and do not want to hear truth will try to modify or bifurcate truth. A half truth is a whole lie. And I've said that many times down through the years. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge today, especially today. Seek the truth. Learn it, live it, love it, tell it. Search for it. Defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business package for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, just a moment, after a brief monologue, we're going to introduce our very special guest today, and our telephone lines will be open for your dialogue and discussion. If you listened to, if you watched, if you heard any part of the inauguration yesterday, if you watched anything in the evening when President Trump started signing executive orders, I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? What are your complaints? What do you think he should have done that he didn't do? What do you think he should not have done that he did do? I'd love to hear from you. We're in a time today that we, just as in Joshua the third chapter, ladies and gentlemen, chapter 3 of Joshua, the first 5 verses, where they were on the banks of the Jordan River waiting for God to allow them to cross over into the promised land. Joshua said you need to sanctify yourself. That means set yourself apart. You need to be prepared, for you've not gone this way before, Joshua said. So we're entering into an era that we have not had before, not from the standpoint of the open floodgates where censorship has been now by executive order stopped, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So as we enter into the doorway, if you please, of this new era with a conservative patriot at the helm in the Oval Office, what do we do? How do we respond? Further in Trump's speech, ladies and gentlemen, he said, America will soon be greater, stronger, and far more exceptional than ever before. Perhaps the telling indicator, ladies and gentlemen, of the new era that Trump is talking about is found when President Trump said this: my recent election has a mandate to accomplish, to completely and to totally reverse the horrible betrayal and all of these many betrayals that have taken place, and to give the people, listen, here's the key, and to give the people back their faith, their wealth, their democracy, and indeed their freedoms, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, if he didn't do anything other than just what he summarized in that brief statement, that would be sufficient. Ladies and gentlemen, it's with great joy and sincere thankfulness to God that I heard President Trump say in that statement, America's decline is over. Our liberties and our national glorious destiny will no longer be denied, and we will immediately restore the integrity completely and loyalty of American government. Listen, I think back, ladies and gentlemen, to Daniel, the third chapter, not but 31 verses in the chapter, when the government had set up a false idol, demanded that everybody in the kingdom fall down and worship. Daniel's three friends did not do so, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did not bow to the false image. They did not bow, if you'd put it in the vernacular today, to the government gone awry. They did not bow to the demands. Then they were chided, challenged, and threatened by the king. You find that in the third chapter, beginning with about verse 17, 18, 19. Left page, left column in my Bible. And they did not bend even when threatened. But ladies and gentlemen, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. I've got good news. they did not burn. And I believe that's where we are at that preface today. We're at that juncture today. We're at that crossroads today. And I am prayerful that you will hear me and hear me well today with what we need to do and what I believe we need to recognize that's on the agenda for us as Christians. I'm going to simply go down a list very quickly as the wrap-up of my monologue and then introduce our guest today. Ladies and gentlemen, President Trump wasted no time in signing his executive orders as he had promised. Listen, he said he was going to sign the executive orders. He said he had several prepared and ready, and the total is going to be about 250 executive orders. He signed stacks and stacks, dozens and dozens, yesterday and last evening. Listen, as a result of the signing of executive orders and the dozens of those orders that have been signed, by the way, you may or may not know this, but within, I believe it was like 58 seconds, less than a minute, after President Trump had been sworn in, the borders, southern borders, were secured. Secured. No more crossing over. Not a single person could cross over. They were sealed on the southern borders within a minute of President Trump's inauguration. That's action. That's doing what is right. That's taking the right stand. But some of those executive orders, ladies and gentlemen, will show us and let us see the illegal invasion of America is over. No more illegal invaders to rape, rob, pillage, and steal, kill in America as far as the doorways being closed. No more forced LGBTQ in our schools. No more transgenderism. No more government censorship. No more forced COVID jabs. No more selling of America to China as the Biden cabal did. No more Bidenomics to destroy our families and its future. No more multi-genders, only male and female, President Trump said. No more EV, electric vehicle mandates. Buy what kind of car you want to buy without the mandate being forced upon the citizens. By the way, as an underpinning of that, no more directions as to what kind of refrigerator you can buy, what kind of dishwasher you can buy, what kind of light bulbs you can use. No more mandate in that realm, ladies and gentlemen. No more catch and release into America and its heartland. No more energy shortage President Trump said, drill, baby, drill. No more energy shortage, ladies and gentlemen. No more Christian persecution by the DOJ, the FBI, the DHS, and the IRS, etc., etc. No more Green New Deal. No more WHO controls. That's the World Health Organization controls. And I could go on and on and on. But we want to talk today, ladies and gentlemen, what I call a conservative Christian patriot that I believe can shed some light on some of these things for us. We have today as our very special guest, and it's always a joy and delight for me to be able to introduce Congressman Mike Hill, former District 1 representative in the House of Representatives for the state of Florida. Congressman Hill, thank you so much for taking time out of your day today and allowing us to pick your brain about some of your thoughts on what took place yesterday, and we're just delighted to have you with us. Thank you for taking time.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. And I've been on your show several times, and I'll have to admit that this morning I could hear a difference in your voice. There was a joy, it was upbeat, and a positiveness that I haven't heard in a while, and it was so refreshing to hear that, Dr. Youngblood.
You sound like my wife. She said, I'd sit and watch the TV, some of the things that you're doing, I just laugh. And she said, "That's you find that funny?" Absolutely. I rejoice with it. And every conservative, and every Christian, and every patriot on the side of our voices today need to be grateful and thank God for this tectonic change in the Oval Office. I'm thankful that he is elected. I'm thankful that he is, as he said, that God had saved his life for him to do what he said he was going to do. In fact, one of the pastors that did prayers that is inauguration, a young pastor from Chicago, and we're going to play a clip of that shortly on this broadcast, but that young pastor said it was a millimeter miracle that Donald Trump is in office, a millimeter miracle, and I am so thankful for that millimeter miracle. So, Congressman, I think that I'm right without drilling you on it. You listened to, watched, and paid attention to most of, if not all of, the inauguration. Tell us your take, just a big bubble overview of your take on what took place yesterday in D.C.
Well, Dr. Youngblood, what I saw was, and was so pleased to hear, just like I hear it in your voice this morning, is an uplifting spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a new day, a dawning that had taken place. And everyone who participated in that ceremony, except for the Democrats who were there, more by compulsion than anything else, such as Joe Biden and the rest of them, but there were many Democrats who did not attend, and just as well, because they would have just put, I don't think they would have had much of a dent, but they would have tried to put a damper on those ceremonies that took place yesterday. All very uplifting. You could watch at any time. I will admit, I didn't watch the entire ceremony that went on throughout the day, but any time when I tuned in, it was just a joy to watch. It was just uplifting, and that's what we saw yesterday. And why? Because everyone knows that there's going to be a dramatic change happening in America right now for the better. And here's the thing, Dr. Youngblood, the Gallup organization performed a study a number of years ago where they proved that whenever the United States prospers, whenever the United States GDP grows, so does the rest of the world. It's utterly amazing. And this is what I think is the bottom line of all this, Dr. Youngblood. God established the United States for a purpose. People came here from foreign shores and immediately started preaching the gospel, building universities and schools that were designed to graduate ministers of the gospel. And I think what we're seeing happening yesterday is a continuation, because it had been placed on halt for a while during the Obama and Biden administration.
Right.
We're seeing a continuation of the United States fulfilling its destiny of preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world.
I am so thankful for that. I must admit, we closed the church offices and the ministry offices yesterday. And I told our congregation and our staff, we're doing that simply for one reason. I am going to watch from start to finish the inauguration. And I encouraged each one of them to do so. And I must tell you, I watched from start to finish at the wee hours last evening of all that took place in the inauguration. Now, one of the things, and I don't know if you're aware of it or not, Congressman Hill, I don't know what happened to John Roberts. But in his swearing in, he was somehow not coordinated. And as President Trump stood and his wife standing there with him with the Bible that he was to be sworn in on, she brought it. In fact, she had two Bibles in her hands. I don't know what they were. Lee Greenwood said he thought they would be the Patriots Bible. So I don't know if it was the Patriots Bible or not. Nothing's been revealed on that.
Judge Dr. Youngblood? Dr. One was the Bible George Washington used when he was sworn in, and the other was a Bible that was given to Trump by his grandmother.
Very good. But Judge Roberts proceeded without allowing time, the nanosecond it would have taken, to place the Bible on the little table that was there for him to play, for President Trump to place his hand on and be sworn in. Now, there's some consternation going on in the airways out there. Some are saying, well, he was not legally sworn in. He's not the legal president because he didn't have it. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you got to have your hand on the Bible but to raise your right hand and swear an oath. And that's what he did. But I am a little bothered. And I don't know why Judge Roberts, I don't know whether he hates Trump, whether he dislikes Trump. I have a feeling that there's a problem there, don't know how or what. But on other occasions with other presidents, at least one other one, he made an error doing very similar thing, a very similar move. So I'm concerned about that element of it. I'm satisfied and content that all of the Supreme Court justices were present. And the swearing in for the vice president that was done by another justice was done appropriately and timely, the way it should have been. So I don't know if it was just an error, if it was a fumble, or if Judge Chief Justice Roberts was somehow anxious or bothered by something. I don't know. But I find it where he did not give proper time for that to be done. And it takes away a little bit away, in my opinion, because I think that the optics, if nothing else, being able to place your hand on the Bible and swear that oath is very, very valuable to the listening, viewing audience, to every American citizen. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But one other thing. What are your thoughts on the Judge President Trump that is signed dozens and dozens and dozens of executive orders? What, in your opinion, is the most important one to your knowledge that he signed?
Well, one thing, Dr. Youngblood, which I did notice, was that while he was signing those executive orders, he was simultaneously holding a press conference and answering questions from the press. Mm-hmm. There was no way that Obama could have done that, and absolutely impossible for Biden to have done that. But what he showed was, not only was he clear-minded and coherent, but he knew exactly what he was doing. And there was one in particular where the gentleman who was handing him the executive orders, and Trump asked him, he said, well, what is this one? He said, this is to get us out of the World Health Organization. Trump went, ooh, that's a good one, and then started signing it. I thought that was just excellent. But he did a number of things and that are going to just change the trajectory of this country. One in particular was ending what is called birthright citizenship, which, by the way, never was legal anyway. That was, again, a term that was made up by the Obama administration and continued with Biden. But there is no such thing as birthright citizenship. And so his executive order, what he did was make a declaration that we're not going to abide by that anymore. And then the other, which I thought really stood out for me, was reforming hiring in the federal government based on merit. And he said, our country is going to be based on merit again. That means no DEI. That means no LGBTQ. None of that nonsense. And another executive order he signed was that you must all work in the office and not from home. And those are just amazing things, which are going to make our government more efficient instead of that wasteful spending that we've been seeing over the past 16 years or so, minus the time when he was in office, even though it continued then because he was fighting upstream against all the never-Trumpers. But he did a number of things yesterday, Dr. Youngblood, which were just outstanding, and including, as you said, securing that southern border.
Absolutely, and I'm thankful for that. Congressman Hill, we have one of our sons up in the southern tip of heaven, up in ice-cold country now in Tennessee, that's calling in. Let's take a moment, listen in for a moment before our news break. Greg, thank you for calling in today. Very serious subject. What say you?
Well, I'll tell you what, the border being secured once again is probably one of the foremost, because we've been subject to an invasion of perhaps as many as 15 million plus over the past 4 years. And sadly, the lie was told on a nightly basis that there's nothing they could do about it. This is just, it required congressional action. We needed a new border bill. We needed a new immigration bill. We just can't do anything about it. This has been broken for 40 years, and it's just broken, and it'll be broken until we get congressional action. So we were subjected to a lie for 4 years. And finally, the truth is revealed in less than 24 hours that we have a president that's interested in actually obeying his oath of office and seeing that this nation is secure. Secondarily, the pardons and commutations of over 1,500, around 1,500 J6ers that were subjected to a lack of due process. Many of them were held without bail. Many of them were held long times without the speedy trial. Many of them had exculpatory evidence withheld. So justice is finally ringing out today.
Absolutely. Greg and Congressman Hill, if you'd be kind enough to hang on until after the top of the hour news break, we want to continue this conversation. Love to hear from each one of you and see what God is saying through each of you to our listeners today that should challenge us to recognize that indeed a new era is upon us. And as Christians and conservatives and patriots, we need to recognize it. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with